بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We continue talking about the station مقام الرياضة. We said here الرياضة doesn't mean like the Lebanese رياضة يعني sports. No, الرياضة we said the meditation. طيب. And we said meditation in Islam is not understood in the meaning of like in other religions as yoga or يعني Hindu or Buddhist understand الرياضة. We said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared him to accept the haqq by doing what? By him صلى الله عليه وسلم seclude himself to reflect about the creation of Allah, and then he was mentally ready to accept this revelation. عليه الصلاة والسلام. After that, he never returned to Ghar Hira. After that, he continued the da'wah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to. So, just a quick reminder, what does it mean, the riyadah here? It means to train yourself to accept the haqq and practice the haqq until the haqq that you practice becomes a habit to you. And we gave an example with the sportsman. And we gave an example with the gymnast and the karate player. You don't just start and like everyone starts, he thinks within 3 days he's going to do 180 split and everything, and he's going to jump in the air and kick, and he's going to do all the what the gymnasts do. No, it takes training until you reach where the person sees you, he says it's a second nature. Same thing. And I elaborate on this, reciting the Quran. You sing, I will learn khalas makharij al-huruf and letters, and it becomes, no. This requires what? Lots of continuous practice and practice and practice until recitation of the Quran becomes a second nature to you. And that's what we spoke about last week, and he gave here the different points. He said, so we said, remember, riyadatul amma, we spoke about it. For the layman, riyadatul khassa today. The specific. There are specific group of people that have their own riyadah. He said, حَسْمُ التَّفَرُّقِ وَقَطْعُ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى الْمَقَامِ الَّذِي جَاوَزَهُ وَإِبْقَاءُ الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِي مَجْرَاهُ. So the three levels, he said, يُرِيدُ بِحَسْمِ التَّفَرُّقِ قَطْعُ مَا يُفَرِّقُ قَلْبَكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ بِالْجَمْعِيَّةِ عَلَيْهِ وَالْإِقْبَالِ بِكُلِّيَّتِكَ إِلَيْهِ حَاضِرًا مَعَهُ بِقَلْبِكَ كُلِّهِ لَا تَلْتَفِتُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. شوف سبحان الله. He said the first point is to sever from your life everything that could be an obstacle to gather you with Allah. So every obstacle that comes between you and Allah, you cut it off. He said, and for you to turn all of you to Him, and your heart is always with Him, and you do not turn to other than Him. يعني كيف? He said, anything that comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any matter that comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very hard for you sometimes to let go of it. You bypass it so you don't upset or anger Allah, but you don't remove it from your life. Who did that? I want to give you an example with Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Go to Surah Sad. لما عرضت عليه صافنات الجياد. His horses were presented to him. And if you love horses and you have a relationship with horses and you know the good horses, and شوف والخيل المسومة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised it and made it to equal to money, to wealth, to mountains and gold and silver. Go back to surah, to the verse in Ayat Al-Imran. He made the mountains of gold and silver. والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث. يعني you start to love the good horses like you would love mountains of gold and silver. And only one who was bitten by a horse, he knows how good our horses. يعني what does it mean bitten by a horse? يعني خلاص you get addicted to horses. You'd know you cannot depart from the love of horses. You always want to have horses. Subhanallah. They presented his horses for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, he started to play with his horses and gaze into how beautiful are his horses. And, you know, he's spending time. And one of the sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that it's not a waste of time is when you are, when you play with your horse and feed your horse and look after your horse and you spend time with your horse, this is time not wasted. The Prophet ﷺ said, this time when you train your horse and you play with it and you feed it, that is not a wasted time. Every other sport is wasted time except this one. And the time you spend with your family is not a wasted time. One of them. Huh? When you spend with your family and kids and you play, you think it's a playing, but this is not considered when it's as a wasted time. It's considered as a good time that you spent it in good things. You see, spend with your family. And one of it, the Prophet ﷺ said, and your horse. So Sulaiman ﷺ was doing something disliked or something that is allowed or something that is a sunnah. Sunnah. But he spent his time حتى توارت في الحجاب. يعني إيش؟ The sun set and he missed the salat. قال ردوها علي. So bring me back those horses. Then what did he do? He killed it all of it. He killed them all of them. He sacrificed them all of them. Of course, you say now this is animal cruelty. Don't go killing your horse, please. You can sell it. If you don't have time for your horse, sell it. If you don't have time for an animal, sell it. Don't kill it. Don't put it down. But that's what the ayah said. This alayhi salatu wasalam, he got so upset with himself. Until and setni dhikrallah, it made me forget. Remember, he alayhi salatu wasalam Sulaiman did not intentionally delay the salat because he was playing with his horses. No, what happened is he forgotten his salat. Something has occupied him mentally, which made him what? Forget the salat. That could happen to you if you're fishing. And the fish are biting and you're picking up. You don't intend. If you remember the salat, you're going to drop everything and pray. No doubt. But because you're so excited, you're overwhelmed with excitement with the fish coming out, you forgot the salat. That's what happened to him. He was overwhelmed with the joy of his horses. He forgot the salat. That's why he said, and Satni made me forget. He didn't intentionally abandon the salat. He disposed himself from all his horses. So here, hasmu tafarruq. So anything that comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, remove it from your life. And that's what Sulaiman did, removed it. Again, another disclaimer. Do not, I am pro-animal rights. That's what alayhi salatu wasalam did. He disposed his horses for what? Because it came between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And made him turn away his heart at that temporary moments, he turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his heart was not fully with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, it's very important when he said, وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. You do not turn except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said here, أَمَّا قَطْعُ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى الْمَقَامِ الَّذِي جَاوَزَهَ. The second limb of the riyadatu al-khas. So how that happened, the first limb, the first section, how does it happen? This happens by doing what? By training yourself slowly, slowly to remove the obstacles that comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you see, ya akhi, and I'm not saying here, and it's not for you to be poor or miskeen, but that's why the miskeen, the poor, we said it's a blameworthy attribute in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ made dua that he doesn't want to be poor. Sah? But miskeen, needy, the one who gets his wages and he spends it all. Not he spends it all as of excessive spending. No, he spends it meaning he just earns enough. That's why the miskeen what? you find him more and more closer to Allah. That's why you find the big wealthy people, they are rarity in the masajid. But the masakeen and the poor, they're always in the masajid, they always come. Because there's not many things, not many obstacles between them and Allah. He doesn't have to work 15 hours to run his company. He does not have to three, four companies to run, and he's always on the phone. He doesn't have time for anything. Even if he comes to the masjid, he barely prays and leave. Huh? As soon as the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, he's starting the car. You see? So there are many obstacles. So the nafs, it's easier for it to connect with Allah. And that is why, akhi, my brothers and sisters, it's very important to understand here. He said, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is always there. He said, أَمَّا قَطْعُ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى الْمَقَامِ الَّذِي جَاوَزَ. To cut off this looking back at the station that you passed. Ya Allah. If we understand this. Meaning what? Meaning, you are at the maqam, when you got into the deen, to pray the five daily salawat, attend a lesson or two, barely doing the sunan, barely doing extra sadaqah, you're just paying your zakat, you're doing the obligation. That's a maqam, isn't it? The maqam of whom? The beginner, who is in the deen. Now you start to pray the sunan. And you pray to start zakat and extra siyam. So you turned from one maqam to another. True? To another station. The one who applied the sunan as much as he can or she can. But then you're at that maqam. And sometimes your heart tumbles a little bit. What do? You look back. You say, Alhamdulillah, look at where I was, look where I am now. You're not saying it to the people, you're saying it between you and yourself. Of course, if you say it to the people, that's bad enough. But mentally you're saying it. The Shaykh said, you have to train yourself not to look back. Because looking back will drag you down. So you have to look where? Up. That's why our scholars, what did they used to say? They used to say, in the matters of dunya, for you to live in contempt, look at the people below you. Yani, for example, if you see somebody down on his dunya, he's not earning enough, say, okay, just look at your brothers and sisters in Syria. Someone in a musibah, Allah, yani, a calamity came to him. Whatever it is, the calamity. He looks, look what's happening. People below you, people are losing wealth and losing businesses. People haven't eaten proper bread for months and months. People haven't eaten an apple for years. When it comes to the matters of deen, you have to teach them not to look back. Look up. You're at this level? Habibi, who do you think you are? You're becoming Imam al-Shafi'i now. Look. What this person and this person and this person. So he's always looking up. You can easily say to him, yeah, Alhamdulillah, look at you, brother, mashallah. Look at these brothers, a'udhu billah, they're taking drugs. Then what have you done? You bring him down. He shouldn't look down. You should not look back. You look up. And here the imam wants you to do what? Not even to try to turn your head to look back. Just turning your back. Turning your face, just turning your face, you're not in the maqam al-khassa anymore. You go back to the maqam of layman. You have to become maqam al-khassa where once you pass the station in your life, there's no looking back. Not turning back, we're saying looking back. And you don't look back. Huh? You all understand what looking back means, huh? When they tell you about a brother, about a person who said, don't even look at him. Don't even look back. Just keep going. Sah? Yani you, who are you? I'm not even going to look back towards you. So that maqam that you were in, you don't even look back to it. You just keep going. Keep going and going forward. And that's what he wants. And he said, but there's something very important. وَإِبْقَاءُ الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِي مَجْرَاهُ. What does it mean? Let the knowledge drive you wherever it goes. Araft. The station before that, or the level before that, what did he say about the ilm? He said, when he spoke about riyadat al-amma wa hiya tahdhib al-akhlaq bil-ilm, it is to modify and fix your manners according to knowledge. Here he did not say that you abandon the ilm because you become part of the khassa. He said, no, let the ilm keep driving you. like a water channel. You know, the water follows the channel as it goes. The channel is the ilm, and you are the water inside that channel. So what happens is the water, you're flowing as the channel is designed to flow, and you follow it and you go with it. Fahimt, this is how important. He said, العلم يجري مجرى. So you actually, as a person, you run with knowledge. He said here, وحقيقة ذلك الاستسلام للعلم. Something very important. He said, and the reality of this is for you to surrender and submit to knowledge. This is the reality of the person who follows the Sunnah, the Sunni person, the Muwahid. He said here, وحقيقة, the reality is of that point, the third point, third limb of the definition of Riyadatul Khassa, he said, وحقيقة ذلك الاستسلام للعلم. To surrender yourself to knowledge. Be careful the word. Muslims don't surrender themselves to ideas without ilm. Ifham. Some religions, they say to you, put your brains outside with your shoes. And faith, there's no intellect in it. Araft? That's incorrect. Because Allah created the intellect for us to use it in what? In ilm. So here he did not say, and surrender to ideas. He said, surrender to ilm. And ilm is what? What is knowledge? Huh? Are ideas that are justified by proofs. Facts, you can, another better way to define it, facts established by proofs. So there's no doubt in it. The ilm has to be, there have to be adilla to it. That's what ilm is. Otherwise, if there is no dalil, there is no ilm. And I don't mean here in the method of the modern Salafis, what's your dalil? What? No. What I'm saying is, there has to be justification for what you are believing in. Araft? Has to be adilla for what you believe in. You have to be adilla for what you practice. Otherwise, not ilm. He said, وَأَنْ لَا تُعَارِضَهُ بِجَمْعِيَّةٍ وَلَا ذَوْقٍ وَلَا حَالٍ. And he said, you don't oppose the ilm with jam'iyyah. Here, it doesn't mean the jam'iyyah, the community. It means, or committee. Jam'iyyah meaning is with a certain understanding that you have. A certain baggage that you have. وَلَا ذَوْق. What it means, the ذَوْق here, I mean, dhawq is not what we understand. Dhawq is a taste. Mm-hmm. No, a dhawq is trance that you get through some type of zikr or some types of actions. Because some people who sit in and they get into a state of a trance through adhkar and through chanting, araft. When you tell him what is the dalil for that, he says, a dhawq. Look how you feel so good after it. Look how your iman grows after it. What you feel in your heart. You see, how can it be wrong if I can feel so good about it in my heart? We say that's a dhawq. So, where you say, this is not a dalil. And if you're talking to someone, you say, okay, open up the books of Usul al-Fiqh and tell me where in Usul al-Fiqh, this is where they list the adillah, they said dhawq is a dalil. It doesn't exist. That's your. It's not a dalil. وقول صحابي يعني إجماع قياس. إيش هو يعني؟ عرفت مصلحة. What is? What kind of dalil is it? It's not ذوق. It's your feelings about something in your heart. Some other people do it and go turn, and then their stomach turn because they do dizzy. عرفت. So this is dhawq, and dhawq is not regulated by the shara'. It becomes like what makes you feel good. Some people, other stuff makes them feel good, so it doesn't make it halal. Araft? So that is not an issue. He said, وَلَا حَالٍ. الحال اللي هي, it can mean here according الأحوال, اللي هي الأحوال with the extreme Sufiya. يعني بيقول لك, I have my special hal. يعني كيف? يعني one of our mashayikh, went to study under a certain sheikh in Hind to get an ijazah from him. And they were sitting in a gathering, and there was a man. sleeping on a mattress. And they found it because they're all big talabat ilm, yani big mashi, yani according here, big talabat ilm, yani, yani someone has at least PhD in Sharia. So you understand, yani what big ta. They're all big talabat ilm sitting, and the sheikh is one of the main mashayikh of Ahlul Hadith in Hind, respected, yani sheikh, and they're taken from him. One of the ulama of Hadith, not Ahlul Hadith, the difference between the two. In Hind, and they're sitting and taking knowledge from the from him. And the man is sleeping. And then the waqt of Salat, adhan, everyone went to the Salat. And the Shaykh, he said to him, what time you wake him up? He said, no, they have a special ahwal, leave him. He'll pray, don't worry. So the Shaykh, that I studied on, the thought that he's got us, yani he's going to come and follow us to the Salat. Maybe he's got some problems, he need to go longer to the toilet or something. Yani, go. Muhim, they went and they came back. It's not that he was asleep because he was always opening one eye and closing one eye. He came back. He said, he didn't pray. They said, the Shaykh prayed in Makkah. The Shaykh prayed in Makkah. How are you in Makkah and he's sleeping here in India, Habibi Kif, yani? I said, he's got ahwal. So here Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, saying, you do not oppose ilm with ahwal because this ahwal is not ilm. It's not, yani you can't say because I have a special hal, I am close to Allah, I'm wali from awliya Allah, though if I hear the adhan, I don't have to pray. And you all know the hadith of the importance of praying in the masjid when you hear the adhan. You can't pray at home if you're a man and you hear the adhan. We know that. Now, and also, ikhwani, emotions. I add that from me, which is emotions, because hal and dhawq are based on what? Emotions. The dhawq is what? Emotions. Also, deen is not based on emotions. I can't, because I'm emotional about a certain topic, base ahkam or lean to an extreme opinion just because I'm emotional about it. Araft? And this is something we learned at the early days of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he saw his companions getting tortured, of course your blood boiled. But, and they wanted to retaliate. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The hadith is known. You people are hasty. There are time for everything. But so emotion, you cannot let your emotions dictate to you what you need or not need to do. No, you move with the ilm. Not with your emotions. Even though your emotions might compel you, you want to, you know, you're very angry, you're very upset, and you know, you're frustrated, but that does not mean, araft, that does not mean you're going to do the right thing. The right thing is you move with the ilm and what the knowledge say. Fahimtum, ikhwani? It's very important. Whether, even if you're dealing with your wife and your children, your wife or your children make you so angry and you want to retaliate, but you hold back because you're not here. You cannot do things which is haram, which is wrong, and brothers retaliate by tells his wife, "Anti talik." Wallah, Shaykh, I was angry. Anta tastaslim lil'ilm. Lil'ilm says, do not divorce your wife except in a certain time, at a certain time, and so on and so forth. You know, all of you know that. So what I'm saying is, you cannot be driven by emotion, and especially the younger you are, the more likely you'll be driven by emotion. And that is why here, he said, تَسْتَسْلِمْ لِلْعِلْمِ. You surrender the ilm. Now, he said, فَالْوَاجِبُ. Listen, Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَالْوَاجِبُ تَصْلِيتُ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى الْحَالِ. It is obligation on you to subject the ilm to the situation. وَتَحْكِيمُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And to rule with the ilm over it. And وَلَا يُعَارِضُهُ. He said, وَهَذَا صَعْبٌ جِدًّا إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَرْبَابِ أَصْحَابِ الْعَزَائِمِ. He said, and this is very difficult except to the people who have strong strength that can able to accept this. Because a lot of people, very hard for them to submit the hal. He said, وَمَتَى تَمَرَّنْتَ عَلَيْهِ. And once you exercise these things, he said, to cut off everything comes between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not turn to the previous station, and also to run, let the ilm, and you run with the ilm according to the ilm. He said, when you do it all the time, it becomes as a second nature to you, and you have reached this level. He said, now, وَرِيَاضَةُ الْخَاصَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ. And the riyadah of the specifics of the specifics. He said, نعم, تَجْرِيدُ الشُّهُودِ والصعود إلى الجمع ورفض المعارضات وقطع المعاوضات. طيب, translate. أما تجريد الشهود. So we have here 1, 2, 3, 4 points. أما تجريد الشهود. تجريد الشهود أخي is to dispose yourself from the witnessing. Remember when they always speak about the specifics of specific, it's always the issue of shuhud. He said here, فنوعان أحدهما تجريده عن الالتفات إلى غيره والثاني تجريده عن رؤيته وشهوده. طيب, what does that mean? Here he said, أما تجريد الشهود. Remember what we said, the shuhud is, they mean with it to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is not what this shaykh is saying. Here he's saying, تجريده عن الالتفات لغيره. He said, it could mean two things. To dispose yourself and remove from yourself, turning to other than the shuhud. This is a very hard point to understand. Let's just say the shuhud, the way we understand it, is to witness the work of Allah in everything. And in everything you see the work of Allah. You see the hand of Allah. And here I know the hand of Allah, I mean it metaphorically, meaning the fi'l of Allah, the action of Allah, the power of Allah in these actions. He said here, تجريد الشهود. So you do not turn to anyone. يعني in the asbab, in the reasons, it's always Allah. You see? هذا هي. نعم. He said, تجريد الشهود. والثاني, the second meaning, تجريده عن رؤيته وشهوده. I don't want to go into this because that is the first one, the best intended يعني meaning. نعم. وأما الصعود إلى الجمع. الصعود إلى الجمع. نعم. Here, it's also, as I said to you, the specific of the specific always very, very abstract. You cannot. Yeah. He said, تجريده, نعم. He said, والصعود إلى الجمع. To ascend to the collectiveness. Yeah. What does it mean? He said, فيعني, it means, به الصعود من معاني التفرقة إلى الجمع الذاتي. He said, to move from, to ascend with yourself from معاني التفرقة إلى المعنى الذاتي. I'm just going to give you one interpretation, the proper interpretation for this. I don't want to go into philosophical interpretation because this talks about the names and attributes of Allah. Now, when we witness a little animal feeding its baby, a mother feeding her baby, Araft, when you witness somebody crying for the pain of somebody, when you witness somebody puts his hand in his pocket and gives money, these are what? Signs of what? Mercy of him, of Allah. So you attribute it to which name? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When you see the destruction of evil people, you attribute it to what? Al-Jabbar. And Ar-Rizq, Ar-Razzaq, and so on. He's saying here, all of this, tafriqa. But it all collects itself into one, which is whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Yuha is trying to say is you stop seeing, and this is, yani, it can be misunderstood easily, all of this meaning of these names, and you see it just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you now, if you think with me, you can see where this could lead to. Naam. Huh? Where could lead to. What he is saying, this, the first meaning, أن يصعد عن علائق الأسماء والصفات إلى الذات. This interpretation, and I told you in the beginning, I'm going to give you one interpretation, I'm going to give you two. What I said is, علائق الأسماء والصفات, whatever the resemblance that we see, the effect of the attributes of Allah and the names of Allah, you take it back to one, Allah. Araft? And this can be problematic. What is the problematic interpretation of it? The problematic interpretation, as I said, it's a little bit philosophical, where you deny, it leads you to say, if all comes from Allah, then mean really, all the attributes are the same. Which is incorrect. Araft? What does it mean? يعني الرزاق and الرحيم, all are the same. All synonyms. That lead to denial of what? Attributes of Allah. You see what it leads to? Could lead to? Araft? And I don't want to go there because wallah, it's a very complex subject. Araft, especially these lessons are recorded and they, يعني, all over the place. So, but this meaning, that is not inshallah intended. We understand? It doesn't mean that. Ibn al-Qayyim, he gave it another meaning. He said, and the meaning here, that you ascend by seeing all the actions of the people, you attribute it to one, which is whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything that you're witnessing, it is not. It goes to whom? To the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you become what? A part of you, you see everything as a reflecting the qadr of Allah, the will of Allah and the ilm of Allah. Araft what it means? He said, no, that's the best way to interpret this section of this definition. What is the best way to define it? That al-as-su'ud, you ascend with yourself from seeing these actions attributed to people, and then you attribute it to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the correct understanding of qadr, we spoke about that a million times. What does it mean, understanding, correct understanding of qadr? If you done, enter, you failed, you don't say, Allah made me fail. No, you failed yourself. Bima kasabat aydikum. Araft? But this action was written or not? So you start witnessing this. Where all this a'mal, you know it comes from one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said here, وَرَفْدُ الْمُعَارَضَاتِ مَا يُعَارِضُ إِرَادَاتِهِ مِنَ الْإِرَادَاتِ وَمَا يُعَارِضُ مُرَادَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُرَادَاتِ وَهَذَا أَكْمَلْ. يعني كيف. He gave two interpretations, but I'm going to use one, because that's the important one. نعم. He said here, he said, وَرَفْدُ الْمُعَارَضَاتِ, to reject all oppositions. What does it mean? Every action before it comes in front of you, before you do something, what precedes it? Tell me. Irada. Will. Precedes it what? Will. It's called what? Iradat. So al-iradat comes for against it what? Mu'aradat, oppositions, which to weaken your resolve and destroy your will. Sah? Whether it's external or from within you. True or not? You are now talking khasat al-khasa. I don't have to explain everything. You are mashallah khasat al-khasa now. Araft? Yani kif? Yani, you have a will to do a certain ibadah. Comes what? The shaitan and the nafs and the family and the kids, comes everything to what? To weaken your will, your irada. So what you do, you don't negotiate with the mu'aradat, the oppositions. There's no free speech for it inside your heart. There is what? You're a dictator then inside your heart. You eliminate every opposition. Araft? Any opposition come inside your heart to stop you from, yani, the good actions, then you remove it. You don't negotiate with it. You are going to say to it, the door is closed, get out of my face. I want, not a word. Yeah. Sah? Why? Because you need to preserve this irada, because from the irada, what bones are from it? Al-amal. Araf, the action. That's why he said, وَرَفْضُ الْمُعَارَضَاتِ. As for قَطْعُ الْمُعَاوَضَاتِ, Al-mu'awadat is what? Al-mu'awadat is, I give you something, you give me something. Araft? Quid pro quo. I give you, you give. Bas. That's called what? Mu'awada. Qat'u al-mu'awadat. He said here, qat'u al-mu'awadat. What is qat'u al-mu'awadat? Is to cut off. You rejected previously the mu'aradat, now the mu'awadat, see, between ra and waw. Mu'awadat is the exchange. Here Ibn al-Qayyim said, فهو تجريد المعاملة عن إرادة المعاوضة. He said, you do the action, you dispose from the action the want of something back. يعني you worship Allah not for Jannah anymore. Pay attention. Huh? Not for Allah anymore. Not for Jannah anymore. You don't want معاوضة. عرفت? You don't want a joy. You don't want anything. You don't want the joy of ibadah. You don't want anything from Allah except worshipping Him. Even if He says to you there is no Jannah, you still worship Him. Huh? Araft? And this point, he said here, Ibn al-Qayyim, I'll translate straight away, that Allah is to be worshipped even if you're not going to get anything back. And Allah deserves to be worshipped not for any reason. No for fear of punishment, nor greed of Jannah or want of Jannah. He said Ibn al-Qayyim, and this is a very important point that you have to understand it. He said, wanting to meet Allah, he's trying to interpret this in the best way possible. But before I interpret it, let me bring you the ayah from the Quran. Before I interpret it, let me bring you the ayah from the Quran, then I interpret it. He said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Sahaba that their sides abandon the bed even though they like to be in it. This is what the word تَتَجَافَى. تَتَجَافَى mean a whole sentence. What does it mean? Meaning they abandon the bed at the time of best sleep, you know, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, yet they would love to be in bed. They want to crawl back under the blanket, but they leave it. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. They supplicate to their Lord in this time of the night, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Out of what? What do they want, these praised people, the companions, radiallahu anhum? Fearing and tamah. What did you translate tamah? Greed. They're greeting for what? What do they want? The Jannah. What do they fear? The punishment of Allah. So, if the best of people after the prophets, this is what they want, they mean they're worshipping Allah to illa or not? For a reason or not? That's why Ibn al-Qayyim said, and this is, be careful, this important point, you have to correct it. But how do we divert then what the Shaykh said? Al-Harawi rahimahullah, so we can explain it properly. He said, what the real khasatul khasa, they come to a level, they're not just satisfied in the Jannah. They want to gaze at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. They want to see Allah, which is, as we learned from the lessons of Aqeedah, that seeing Allah is the best ni'mah, blessing in Jannah. And there is a little recording that went around 10 years ago from the poem of Ibn al-Qayyim. Inshallah, if Allah gives us life, there is a big poem in Nuniyah for Ibn al-Qayyim. If you can go through it, just at least some proportions of it. At least he said, وَهِيَ مِنْ أَجَلِّي مَقَاصِدِهِمْ وَأَغْرَاضِهِمْ. And this is the highest and the pinnacle, the optimum aim that خَاصَّةُ الْخَاصَّةُ aim for. Which is what? Ya Allah, we're not just worshipping you just because you want to give us the Jannah. We are worshipping you and giving you this ibadah because actually we want to be amongst those who will gaze at you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And will gaze at you in the Jannah. Araft? وَهَذَا مَقَامُ خَاصَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ. And that is why here he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفُرْدَوْسِ فَإِنَّهُ وَسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ وأعلى الجنة وفوقه عرش الرحمن ومنه تتفجر أنهار الجنة. Here, the Prophet ﷺ said and directed the companions to ask Allah the highest Jannah, which is above it is عرش الرحمن, the throne of the most merciful. And it is the best part of Jannah, and from it all the rivers flow, the Jannah. And above it, above the Jannah is عرش الرحمن, and from it the rivers of flow. So this is, he taught us to seek something for our ibadah. And our nafs, and I seal with that, our nafs is what? Is fused. There's a fusion in it. It's fused with what? With doing something for something. For profit. You don't do business for no profit. Huh? So yes, Allah created you for ibadah, but He excited you for ibadah by doing what? By telling you there is a Jannah towards the end. So the ibadah, you always want the Jannah. And that's why here we can interpret this khassatul khassa in this specific point, al-mu'awadat, that you do not just want the physical Jannah. You want something higher than that, which is an-nazaru ila wajhihi al-kareem. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum.